on the telephone with us this morning is Sue Wanzer. Sue and Keith both serve on the MCCSC school board, and Sue also has a job in real life, Sue. And let's start there just to help get us, just out of curiosity, what time did the city council meeting end last night that you clerked?
It ended actually today.
Oh, that's good. I hope they don't pay you by the day. I hope they pay you by the job, right?
No, they don't, but it ended at 12:05.
Oh, that's not terribly bad, is
it? No, it isn't terribly bad, but, you know, anyway.
Well, Tim Mayer checks in with us every Tuesday, as everybody knows. Can you just give us the thumbnail sketch for people that might not see this in their daily paper of what was concluded last night? We had parking ordinances to talk about, and Councilman Volin had his set of things. Councilman Nera had his set of things. What do we come up with in the end?
I have to tell you, I am such a nerd that I love parliamentary procedure, so I was all a flutter last night when we had a division of the question, and then we amended the division of the question.
Ooh.
Oh, it was
now,
so exciting.
Is that extra white out, or how does that work?
Councilmember Volin's ordinance was divided into three sections.
And then that was subdivided into subdivisions, correct?
Right, so that, and the first two sections were failed, and his last section was approved, and that that changed the parking garages so that all parking garages have 3 hours free.
So
parking.
You don't get confused on where you're at, you get 3 hours free.
Exactly, we have
wherever
consistency.
You go.
And the parking meter hours for enforcement were changed from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m.
Which seemed to make sense based on the data they were looking at.
Right. Yeah, because they were looking at, and that's what Councilmember Volin was looking at too, was changing the periphery of the parking
based on that data.
Sense instead of an hour, the parts that aren't used very often, but that was defeated.
Yeah, that was more of a market system angle on that. And
his proposal said, you know, these spaces aren't being used. Let's, you know, maybe people will use this more and drive people into the lower paid spaces and free up some of the dollar spaces. And his point is you want to make the higher usage spaces higher cost and the lower usage spaces lower cost. So, yeah.
I don't perhaps disagree with that, but that's not up for me to worry about. Now, the other thing that was major out of this, in my opinion, was the hours at the 4th Street parking garage have been changed because somebody figured out how to crack the system.
I know, and
that's always how it works. You gotta look back at this every year.
I don't know how they figured that out. I'm not really sure.
Me neither. I'm not smart enough to do the math.
Yeah, either am I. So, that. And I can't really even tell you, I honestly almost don't even remember from piece to piece what happened without having notes in front of
me. Here, I'll help you out on that because I do have it in front of me.
Okay, good. Thank you.
The hours at the 4th Street parking garage will be changed from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. to combat the abuse.
Okay.
And the other deal is the Morton Street garage, that part, you can use 3 free hours there as long as you haven't been in any other garage throughout the day. So
right.
There is kind of that. You can't do the shuffle.
Yeah, and that makes it consistent with the other garages, and that became very confusing for people. You know, if they knew that they could park for free in the other garages, they thought they could do that also in Morton Street Garage. So
again,
now we can.
Not even a year into this, right? So we're just still kind of...
Actually, it's just 18 months.
18 months, yeah.
Yeah, because we started 2013 in August.
Right, knocking the kinks out and just trying to figure out the better part of it. Now that this happened last night, Sue, we move on to non-parking things, or do we come back and tweak and amend and do all that moving forward?
That was the final vote last
night,
and I don't know if people are going to bring anything forward in the future. Certainly not soon, but maybe in the future, you know, in another year as they look at it. And I think this is one of those things that when the parking meter started, the administration as well as the council said, we're going to have to take a look at what's happening.
Yeah, you have to reevaluate it every year.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right, great stuff. We appreciate that. Sorry you didn't get any sleep last night. So
that's okay.
We will jump into the education issues. You folks had a meeting on Tuesday, was that correct?
We had a work session.
Work session, and you talked about teacher evaluations.
Correct.
Tell me all about that.
You know, this was really, and I think Keith will agree, really good stuff. And as we have talked about in the past, because we signed a collective bargaining agreement in the fall of 2011 that was for 4 years, we couldn't bargain during those 4 years, which means we did not have the evaluation system. This new evaluation system we couldn't put in place. We were using our old evaluation system. This now, the state has mandated a different kind of evaluation system, and we're probably just almost about one of the last school corporations to enact the state-mandated evaluation system. So we've had a chance to learn from other school corporations, and the superintendent told us on Tuesday that we have a committee. We had a committee of teachers and administrators who have worked on this for 2.5 years. So it's really, I mean, it's got a lot of buy-in from the people from the people who have been working on this. And it sounds, Keith, you're going to have to tell me if I'm right or wrong, but to me, it's just so, it just seems so comprehensive, because there's a rubric by which there are 60 items on which teachers can be observed or rated. They don't have to use all of those 60 items, but and that takes up 90% of the evaluation.
And that is given to you by the state?
No, we developed this.
You did. Okay. So what does the state make you do?
The state said we had to have an evaluation system that used assessment from, I forget the exact wording, but we had to have assessment from students and from school. So we have to use ISTEP scores in the school and the school grade, and we're using that as 10% of the whole evaluation system. There's a lot of people who object. I'm one of the people who objects to using the school grade or the ISTEP, tying that to the teacher evaluation, but that's not for me to say. The state mandated that we have to use that.
Yeah, if the state does that, your hands are tied, correct?
Well, and let me go back a little bit here, Sue, because first of all, why is this even an issue? It's an issue because this ties teacher salary
to
raises
performance.
To performance.
Right. Right.
And the other thing is, and Sue intimated this a moment ago, schools that have socioeconomic challenges do not perform as well as schools that don't. So when you tie the school grade to the teacher salary, you're saying that those teachers are not doing as well, when in fact we have a situation where the students don't have, what's the term I'm looking for, Sue, don't have the
resources,
gift,
the
resources, that other students have. And so, you know, it's one of those things. The benefit for us is we've had all this time to see where these things have broken down in other school systems, where the problems have been, and develop a system for our schools that come next August will start to go into effect.
Sue, I always like to ask you on the historical perspective. I like to know where things came from, where they got to where they are, and where they're going. Well, no, because 30 years ago, how did we do all this stuff?
We've always had evaluations.
Right, and I want people to be aware of that. This isn't some kind of new reform that's come up in the last 15 minutes. This has always been part of it.
It's different. The state has made it different.
It wasn't a government evaluation.
No, exactly. And, you know, and the thing about any kind of job performance assessment that anybody might do, you know, there's always a subjective area to it, especially with teaching, because somebody's going in and observing. We've tried to make it as objective as we can, and with using a rubric that actually states, okay, if you're rated 4, this is what you've done. If you're rated 3, this is what you've done. And it actually lists the qualities that you're exhibiting. So we've tried to make it less subjective, but the state wanted to do something that made all of the school corporations more consistent, I guess, because they wanted to tie teacher raises to it. And if you recall, in the last, I don't know, 6 months ago, I'm not sure when it was, the state legislature was disappointed because so many school corporations were rating their teachers. There's four categories: highly effective, effective, needs improvement, and non-effective. And you could only get a raise in the top two categories: highly effective and effective. The state legislature was upset because so many teachers were being rated as highly effective and effective. So, to me, it says that they wanted this kind of a system because they thought teachers weren't really very effective, and this was going to be a way to weed them out. I don't know what teacher stays around in this profession, especially after they're being so beaten up with so little salary, who would stay around if you're not really very good? So it's not a surprise to me that so many school corporations rated their had teachers that were rated highly effective or effective. So we'll see. Glass, when you ask about what's happened in the last 30 years, my concern is in another 2 years, the state's going to change this all over again, and we're going to have to do something new after all this work. But the one thing that our teacher, the Paul Farmer, who is the president of our Teachers Association, who was there, said, and the other folks on the committee, this is not about finding problems with people or a gotcha kind of thing. This really is a growth model. It's for any job performance. It's a way to find out what you're doing well and what you can improve on. And so I hope we embrace it from that standpoint, as opposed to we're trying to evaluate people and find out the really bad teachers and get rid of them. That's not really the point at all to this.
Sue, real quick, tell them what Sandy Cole talked about and position in all of this.
Sue Wanzer and Keith Klein are our guests this morning. They both serve on the MCCSE school board. Go ahead, Sue.
Sandy Cole works at the, it's not really called the Center for Disability, but that's all that's coming to my mind at this point, at Indiana University. And she worked with the state with an organization called INTAS, and they developed a model for teacher evaluation that has been used around the state and other school corporations. And as Sandy said when she spoke to us, she lives here. This is her home school corporation, so she was so happy that this could be part of her home school corporation, MCCSC. And she worked with this committee for 2.5 years. We've got to thank her for all the work, because really what they put together looks like a great model. I mean, all not just teachers. I think a whole lot of people could model their job performance or their growth assessments on something just like this, so that everybody could take a look at all the different aspects that you do in any of your jobs and what you can do better and how you can improve. So, yeah, I think we really have to thank Sandy Cole for all the work that she and IU did to help us with this.
All right, Sue, good job. You can sneak in a nap today. I'll make sure that the mayor knows that's all right.
Okay.
And just write it on Keith's letterhead. You'll be fine.
You know, I really don't work for the mayor because I'm in a separate branch of government.
Well, that's okay, so, but he oversees the whole city, so whoever your boss is, he's got to have some leeway on, doesn't he?
Well, my boss is Regina Moore, who's a city clerk who's separately elected. So, yeah, we get to do it. No, I don't want to do
that. That's what you do. Anything you want.
Okay. Thank you.
Sue, you're delirious. Call us next Thursday.
I think I am. Okay.
Sue Wanzer.